All right, we're still trying to finish up the book of Romans. I know we're a little bit everywhere the last couple weeks. And if you want to look at Romans chapter 11, where we're at, 16, we're not in 11. Romans chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. It says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations of the obedience of the faith." So the last couple of weeks we've been going over prophecy versus mystery. This chart may help you a little bit here. And I had the question the other day. Somebody asked me, were Adam and Eve Jews? Well, when God first created the world, Adam and Eve were Gentiles. They were created, and we have this here. And then Abraham was chosen to be the chosen one for the nation of Israel. So again, at that time, the nation of Israel is the prophetic program. So from the time of the nation of Israel, which is here, the law, the earthly kingdom, the last couple of weeks we've been going over the difference between the Gospels, the differences between Paul versus the 12. Last week we talked about the Great Commission versus the Grace Commission. What is all these differences? And again, the prophetic program went from the nation of Israel when Abraham was chosen all the way over to Acts chapter 9. And if you want to go back to my last week's sermon as well, we learn that the rejection of the Holy Spirit is in Acts chapter 7. And that is the final straw with the nation of Israel. At that point, the nation of Israel is set aside. We have the Apostle Paul that's chosen to be a vessel to spread his name to the body of Christ. And that is what the mystery is. So here we are in the age of grace. Paul, the body of Christ, which is the mystery. The gospel of the grace of God. This morning we're going to compare the second coming versus the rapture. A lot of times we can get this confused. We don't understand where everything fits in, how it fits in, what's happening. First off, what is the rapture? The word rapture is not in Scripture, but they take it from the a Latin word for caught up. And caught up is the word rapto. That's the Latin word is rapto, and that's how we get the word rapture. We will be caught up. We will meet the Lord in the air at the time of the rapture. The second coming is when Jesus comes back and touches the earth. So that's a little bit of a difference right there. So the first difference is, one, we are going to meet in the air versus Jesus returning to the Mount of Olives. If you look with me to 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." The rapture is for the believers. The rapture is what we're looking for. The rapture is a time that we are caught up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Look back with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, and we'll just look at verse 30 and then we'll jump down, and it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of the Man, see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." So again, this is talking about the second coming, and in verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. The second coming is like the days of Noah. Who was left during the days of Noah? The believers were left on earth. The rapture, the believers are gone. Second coming, the believers are left. We have two different comparisons here. When we begin to rightly divide, 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Again, he is talking to the nation of Israel. He is dealing with the nation of Israel. The second coming has to do with the nation of Israel. The rapture has to deal with the body of Christ. Another difference is the rapture was a mystery. The second coming is part of prophecy. Look over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 15. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 50, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Again, the Apostle Paul has another mystery, and that's what we're comparing with in Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul talking about the mystery. You cannot find anything about the rapture anywhere else in Scripture except for the Pauline epistles. He says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He's saying we're not all going to die. Some of us will be raptured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought past the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The rapture is the mystery. You can look over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. The second coming was always prophesied, as we saw in Matthew there, as well in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Everyone we'll see the second coming. In the rapture, I think we're all going to just disappear. The believer's just going to be gone. There's going to be chaos, but I don't think anybody's going to see anything. In the second coming, if you see in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, he says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. That is talking about the second coming. When Jesus Christ comes back to touch the Mount of Olives, everyone on the entire earth will see it happen. One is for deliverance, one is for judgment. The rapture brings us deliverance. He's not coming to judge us. He's bringing us to heaven. You can look back again at 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4. So again, same thing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If you jump down to verse 18, it tells us, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Again, the rapture is a comforting thing. We will not go through the tribulation. If you study out prophecy and what's going to occur next, prophecy brings in the tribulation, the 7-year tribulation period. And the tribulation period, when they even talk about the 3.5 years of peace, it's going to be horrible. And then the last 3.5 years are going to be just, we're not going to understand it. There's going to be so much chaos that people are going to want to die. They're not going to want to be here. The 7-year tribulation period is going to be awful. But we can comfort one another today. We can comfort and say, because you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be raptured. You will be caught up. You will meet Him in the air. And you don't have to worry about the tribulation period. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. It says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Jump over to Revelations 19. We can start in verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vestures and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." The second coming is a time of judgment. The rapture is not. The rapture, we are called to heaven. We stand before him at the Bema seat, but not for judgment of salvation. We get our rewards, we get our crowns, we get our... Here at the second coming, it's judgment. He's coming back to bring judgment onto the earth, onto unbelievers. The rapture can happen at any moment. The second coming happens after certain events. Again, it goes back to prophecy. It is told when the second coming will occur. We are in the age of grace. We are in this mystery program. For the last 2,000 years, once they raised up the Apostle Paul and he was saved, he was a believer, we don't understand how long the age of grace is going to last. We are waiting for the rapture. We don't know what events will occur. We don't have any idea when it's going to occur. We don't understand. Anybody can try to time date it, stamp it, whatever, but we don't know when the rapture will occur. The second coming happens directly 7 years after the tribulation begins. There is a time stamp on the second coming. We are looking for the rapture. Look at Titus 2:13, what we are looking for. Titus 2:13. It says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." We are looking for that blessed hope. We know what Jesus Christ has done for us. If you have put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You will either die physically and meet Him that way, or hopefully all of us will meet him in the air at the rapture. In the rapture, we are caught up and we are looking for that glorious hope. We are looking for that blessed hope and that amazing, glorious appearing of the great and God, our Savior. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know exactly. The Apostle Paul thought it was going to happen in his time, and it didn't. Jump back to Matthew chapter 24 with me. I know I'm doing a lot of jumping back and forth, but I want to do comparisons so you have proof of what the rapture is, what the second coming is, how it all ties together. You can see Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, talks about the coming of the Son of Man. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of a desolation spoken of Daniel by the prophet. Again, the second coming was prophesied. Stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation. This is talking about the tribulation period. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth, behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it or not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. We are not looking for this today. This happens after the tribulation. And that is sort of my last point. The rapture happens before the tribulation. The second coming happens after the tribulation. So if you look at this, here's the events. The whole point of the prophecy or the prophetic program, God chose Abraham. The nation of Israel was God's chosen people. All they had to do was accept that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But the nation of Israel as a whole never accepted it. Last week we talked about God the Father being rejected, God the Son being rejected, and God the Holy Spirit being rejected. At the time of God the Holy Spirit being rejected, he said, lo, I am done with the nation of Israel. I am now going to the body of Christ. I am turning to the Gentiles. So he goes on here, Acts chapter 7, 8, and 9 is the final straw with the nation of Israel. Nobody knew about the mystery program. Nobody knew about the age of grace. It is revealed to the Apostle Paul. Go home this evening and type in the word mystery in the Bible and see how many times it pops up. Talks about the Apostle Paul. We talked about a couple weeks ago that Paul is a chosen one to the Gentiles to bear his name before the Gentiles. We've talked about what is a part of the mystery. The rapture is nowhere else found except for in Pauline epistles. The body of Christ is nowhere else found except in Pauline epistles. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation is nowhere else except for in Pauline epistles. Yes, it was foretold, it was prophesied that Jesus Christ would go to the cross. He told the 12 that this would happen, but the 12 never believed it, and it was not for salvation until the Apostle Paul received his special message. So here we are right now in the middle of this age of grace. We are looking for the rapture. There is no time frame on that. We don't know when it's going to occur. We don't know if it will occur, but we don't know when it will occur. It could happen today. It could happen 1,000 years later. It could happen 2,000 years later. God's grace and mercy is allowing His wrath to hold back. But after the rapture, we start, the day the rapture occurs, we start the 7-year tribulation period. After the 7-year tribulation period, Jesus Christ comes back to destroy the Antichrist, to destroy at the Battle of Armageddon. At that battle, which I think it takes about 1 second, the battle's over. Then Satan is cast into the bottomless pit, and we go into the 1,000-year reign of the physical earthly kingdom that we've been talking about. The nation of Israel will have an earthly kingdom. And that is why at the second coming, the unbeliever is taken. The believers are left to go into that kingdom. During the rapture, we're taken because we don't want to be a part of the tribulation. That is the differences. Real quick, turn with me to Ephesians, and we'll wrap this up. Turn with me to Ephesians. And I put some of these charts in your bulletins. There's some on the back there if you want this chart. Again, look over it. Study it. It'll help you out tremendously. But in Ephesians chapter 2, again, the Apostle Paul's talking, and he says in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time..." So again, number one, at times past. At times past, when the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation, what does verse 12 say? "That at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." When the nation of Israel was God's chosen nation, Gentiles had no hope. We were strangers. We were aliens. We had strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, that doesn't mean we couldn't be saved. But if you go to the beginning part of Acts, you had to become a proselyte. You had to become a Jew. You had to do all the Jewish traditions. You had to do all the rituals. You had to become a literal Jew. So if you were a Gentile, literally there was no hope. But look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "But now." So now we're at the "but now" right here in the age of grace. So before, in times past, we had no hope. But now Jesus Christ came. He died on the cross. He told the Apostle Paul the message. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." We are in that age of grace. And I thank Him for that each and every day. You can see in verse 14, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." If you look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, maybe go back and listen to my sermons and it may help tie everything together. But we're just going over differences between the age of grace and the kingdom program. You may say, well, why did He make it so complicated? Why did He make it so hard to understand? Why did He... And salvation is very easy to understand. I think a lot of people are preaching the death, burial, and resurrection for salvation. But a lot of times they'll add something to it. They'll add water baptism. They'll add tithing. They'll add coming to church. They'll add Sabbath. They add a lot of legalism to it. But after He died on the cross, there's nothing else we can do besides put our faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the reason He had to keep this whole thing a mystery was that you can read it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. He says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." Before the world, God had a plan. He knew exactly how this thing would lay out. He knew you would be sitting here today. He knew you'd be hearing this today. He knew the plan, what would occur. But if you read in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if we go back to the Old Testament in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and here, like I said, it was prophesied that Jesus Christ would go to the cross of Calvary. It was told that it was going to happen. But the 12 never understood it. The people never understood it. If Peter and the 12 would have believed it, they would have been sitting at that tomb that day that he rose from the dead. But there was nobody there waiting for him to rise from the dead because nobody believed it was going to happen. But the problem in the matter is if anyone knew it, let's say Peter and the 12 knew that Jesus Christ would die and that he would raise again, and that was our salvation. If Peter knew it, Satan knew it. This whole thing had to be kept a secret so that the plan could be played out. So when he went to the cross of Calvary, that he would stay on that cross so that people would do what they were going to do. Satan thought he had won the victory for 3 days. Satan thought he had won. I'm victorious. I think Peter and the 12 felt defeated. They didn't understand. I'm not saying they weren't saved. They believed Jesus Christ was the Son of God, but they had no idea what the plan was until he rose from the dead. You can see that in verse 8 here, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they knew it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Let us close with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just thank you that when we study it, we can understand it. We understand your plan, that you had a plan for the nation of Israel, that you have a plan for the body of Christ. We just thank you that we have our hope and glory, that we are waiting for that rapture, for that day to occur. We don't have to worry about the tribulation because we will not go through it. We just thank you for the comparisons. We thank you for your plan that you had from the beginning of the world. Again, we just thank you for this wonderful morning, Lord, and we pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to the Lord.